Thank you for those who work with our junior choir, and we appreciate that very much. Karen McGuire and Judy Roberts and the others who help out, and always our musicians like Madeline and others who help, and we appreciate that very much. And they have a message to children up here. It was a message about Jesus. They know from their families and from what they've been taught at home and at this church that Jesus is the Savior. And that's the time to teach them. Now, I know the world says, well, that's brainwashing them. Well, somebody's going to brainwash them, and it might as well be us with the truth, amen, and tell them about Jesus while they're young. Look very quickly now in your Bibles, if you will, to Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, right in the same territory where we were this morning, with just one verse, a springboard verse, as we think about heaven's Christmas tree. Revelation 22:2, and I think this is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Jerusalem that we were talking about this morning. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 men of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There was the tree of life. I read about a story of a pastor who was a very well-known pastor back in the 1900s, Charles Tindley. If you've ever read any of his messages, they're powerful messages. But in reading about a message that he had written, one where 100 and something people got saved that night, he was telling a story about what led him to the message. And he was walking down the street, and there was a large, huge church. And as he was walking there, he saw a lot of people going in, a lot of people going out, a lot of movement. And he decided just to stop there for a little bit and see what was going on in that church. And so he went there and looked inside the church, and they had a large Christmas tree. And on that Christmas tree, they had gifts that somebody had hung, the church members, I suppose, all over that Christmas tree. And there were some needy people who just came off of the street, and some folks that they had their names of that were gathered around, and they would pull off the gift from the Christmas tree and call out the name and give that gift to somebody. And the people had put those gifts all over that tree. And he watched, and a little lad came out, a little boy, and he looked sort of sad. He didn't have a gift. And he tried to manage a smile, and he just didn't have a smile, and he looked so disappointed. And he decided to follow him, Dr. Tindley, and he followed the little lad down the street a little bit, and then the little boy stopped on the steps of their row house type apartment. And the little boy looked around and seemed very disappointed. He had no gift. And then he just turned and went inside his home. Probably had no gifts in there either. And that would be very typical of the area that he was in. And he thought about that and thought about God and Jesus being the Christmas tree, and wondering if there'd ever be a time that the whole world at one time would be blessed, or could be blessed, by having a gift and nobody being disappointed. And it made him think of the Lord Jesus Christ and think of Christ tonight as a Christmas tree. And we have this one over here, the lights on it and the ornaments and all of that, and each one of those items, they sang a little message about them. Each one represented something. But think about, if in this building right now we had a tree that went all the way to the very top of the ceiling, and its branches reached way out toward the back and way out toward the sides, and on that tree was a lot of gifts. And imagine that that tree is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you tonight, are there any gifts from that tree for us? And I say there are a lot of gifts from that tree for us, for those who are willing to accept it. And Jesus is, of course, the gift of life, but he gives us all of those gifts. One of the things he gives is hope for the hopeless. You know, there's nothing any sadder than a hopeless person. Somebody who you talk to and they just absolutely have no hope for the future. They have no reason to live. They are just getting by and they're going through their routine and they really don't have any hope. If you were to ask them about their future, the comments would be bad, negative. I have no hope. But I'm glad Jesus gives hope to the hopeless. You and I were that way one time. We may not have realized it, but we were lost in sin, and we needed a Savior, and we were hopeless and helpless and on our way to hell. And were it not for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would still be on our way to hell tonight. But Jesus gives the gift of the hope for the hopeless and forgiveness for the guilty. We talk about the shining lights, and when we think of forgiveness for the guilty, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and the beams, as it were, of grace and mercy coming from His presence as He offers Himself to people in the world to be redeemed. It speaks of the Redeemer's face. And that particular package on the tree is a package that is covered with blood. The Redeemer's cause, the blood that was shed. And the Lord gives us that gift. God gives us that gift through His Son. The little baby that was born, grew up, and then went to the cross and suffered, and His blood was shed. And because His blood was shed, He gives the gift, or offers the gift at least, to anybody. And I'm glad on that gift, everybody's name's on it. For God so loved the world, whosoever will may come. And the blood was shed, thank God, for everybody. And everybody can be born again. So He gives forgiveness for the guilty and help for the weak. Every helpless soul who wants to leave the devil can only do it by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes about these Skid Row people downtown. Every once in a while, I'll just drive through there. My wife and I sometimes, and we'll be coming back from something maybe downtown, we'll just drive through there. And we say, just, you know, look at that. How sad that is. Winos and people hanging out. Maybe some have been sleeping there all night. They're down there by the mission. You know what they need? They need Christ. I'm glad that we help a little bit, feed them down there sometimes. Not that particular mission, but another mission. Still the same ministry. And they give them the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they get saved. I remember going to seminary with some guys, and a couple of guys in particular, and you know, eventually everybody gives their testimony, and Brother Szymanski, I believe, was one of the guys' names, and he got up and gave his testimony, and as he was giving his testimony, he talked about how he was an alcoholic, a drunkard, and he was down there on Skid Row, and some of our students from the seminary went down there. We used to preach and do solo work and all kinds of stuff down there. It was always such a blessing to be up singing and those winos just sort of sleeping. But you know what? Every once in a while, one of them would get saved. And this guy got saved and came to Jesus and became a preacher. He was out of Rolling Hills Baptist Church. How many of you used to go there, have been there before? You knew what I'm talking about. He got saved and joined that church, was baptized, surrendered his life, and wound up out at the seminary. Who could do that? But Jesus. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could get help for the weak and hope for the hopeless. And then friendship for the friendless. A person who feels like they have no friends, they're living in a dark, dark, dreary way. Now a lot of the things about the Christmas songs, if you notice, have something to do with the nighttime and the light. The night and the light. The bright star, the leading star, and all of that. And so it is that these people need the light, and that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives peace for troubled souls. There are troubled souls all around us. The only way they're going to get peace is not through a pill bottle, not through drugs, not through materialism, not through all of these other things. The only way they're going to get peace is from the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace for a troubled soul, and He is home for the homeless. My heavenly home is bright and fair, the songwriter said. No pain or death shall enter there. Its glittering towers the sun outshine, that heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling home, being with the Lord, because He gives a home, a permanent home, to the homeless. A lot of gifts on that tree. One is pardon, and thank God we have pardon. They talked about the ornaments being in a circle that just continued and continued. And that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ giving us something that is called eternal life. You know, my wife and I were talking today, I don't know, some conversation this afternoon or earlier this morning, I forget. And something just came up, and I said, well, you know, we've got to die. Everybody's got to die. We're going to die. There's no way around it unless the rapture comes. You're going to die and I'm going to die. Now, that's a real gloomy subject for a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon, but not really when you're saved. And I said, you know, it doesn't matter. We know we're going to die. And so I just thank God, and the context of what I was saying is I don't understand everything. I don't know everything. I don't understand everything that God has told us and talked about. But the bottom line is I know one thing for sure. My sins are forgiven. They're under the blood, and I'm on my way to heaven tonight because I've been pardoned by the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has given me, as that circle symbolizes, infinity, eternal, everlasting life that never ends, never ends, never ends. We have rings and we say to the bride and groom, that's a picture of your unending love. Thank God for His unending love. And it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. On that tree is peace. I'm glad. Do you have peace tonight? You should have. The only kinds of people that don't have peace usually are those who are unsaved, as some of you might be here tonight, and secondly, those who are saved and out of God's will. You don't have a lot of peace, but thank God if you're saved and out of God's will, you can confess your sin and have that peace restored. You don't have to get saved again, but it all begins by coming to Jesus Christ. Without the Prince of Peace, you have no peace. There is no peace. Peace comes through Jesus Christ. And only through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way we're going to get it. We have on that tree the presence that God gives us of the Holy Spirit with us. And tonight, there's somebody living in me, somebody living in you, that is co-equal with Jesus and co-equal with the Father. And that's the Holy Spirit. And that's a great gift to have. You know what? I need the Holy Spirit. I'm glad God has given me the Holy Spirit. I depend on Him. I pray for His anointing, for His touch. I need His leadership. I need His reprimand. I need for Him to pierce my soul and bring me under conviction when I'm getting out of His will. I need the Holy Spirit of God to help me to interpret the Word of God when I'm studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God. The best teacher is not necessarily a commentary. The best teacher is the Holy Spirit of God. And the best commentary is the Bible. It's the best commentary on itself. And the Holy Spirit gives us that wisdom. Isn't that a great gift to be saved tonight, to have the Holy Spirit, to be sealed by the Holy Spirit? Sealed up. I'm going to take a couple of quarts of pickles to my daughter-in-law. And I'm glad that one of our members has got those things sealed up. And they're going to be all right. Amen. And he asked me this morning, you want to take a couple of quarts? I said, yeah. He used to give us some hot sauce, and that was sealed up. But I like the fact when we think of being sealed, that this is the sealing of the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, my friend, the Holy Spirit sealed you up. And you can't get out of that seal. The only one who could break that seal would be God, and God doesn't want to break it. And I'm glad that we're sealed, set apart, saved, and we are sure for heaven because of the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God. What a great gift on that Christmas tree, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send somebody else in my place, and He will be the comforter. He'll seal you, and He'll live with you, and He'll guide you, and He'll comfort you. Sometimes we need comfort. Do you ever need comfort? Boy, I've needed comfort many times. And there are times when we go down to the funeral home or we're in the emergency room and we watch our loved one die or in the hospital room, There's only one who can give us that comfort. I'm telling you, a psychiatrist can't do it, a psychologist, a preacher can't do it. We can say the best words we can and try to minister as well as we can with our experience, but the only one who's going to give comfort at a time of a broken heart is the Holy Spirit. And if you've been there, and you're saved, you have sensed that. And what a great gift God has given us through that, the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad God has given us the gift of prayer, be able to call on Him and pray. It's always a blessing to see people kneel around this old-fashioned altar. We call it that. It's just steps, but we make an altar out of them. And to see people kneel and pray. They're calling on God. God's given them the privilege to do that. Pray to get saved. Pray to get right. Pray for somebody else. The great gift of prayer. I'm so glad that I have prayer. And if I didn't have prayer, I wouldn't want to even try. I wouldn't even want to attempt to be a preacher. To get up and preach the Word of God, to teach the Word of God without prayer. And I thank God for every prayer that you pray for me. We were in a prayer group just before church started tonight. And those men who prayed for me. And I thank God that they did pray for me. And others that pray. We should pray for one another. God's given us the gift of prayer. And we take it so for granted. In fact, we take it so for granted, sometimes we don't even do it. But thank God for prayer, the opportunity to go to Him. And sometimes you just need to pour your heart out to Him. I mean, you just need that time. Always prayer and always praying. But there are those times you just need to get on your face before God and weep and cry and weep a little more and pour your heart out to Him. Aren't you glad He lets us do that? And He never does say, wait a minute now, your time's up. You know, I have to work by appointment, and I make some appointments. People call, I say, call Stephanie, and she won't know what I've got on my calendar because it's so messed up. But we'll make an attempt to set a time, and you come in, and we'll have about a 30-minute window or whatever you need there. But with God, don't have to worry about that. You can stay on your face before God as long as you want to. And somehow, because He's God, He'll listen to all of that. We also have on that tree the promises of the great future that we have. And I won't say a lot about that tonight. Said a lot about that this morning. But I'm glad that we have the promise of a great, great, great future. Who has a greater future than Christians? Nobody. Nobody. No matter what you face in the future, you have a great future. Doesn't matter what you face. Doesn't matter. Whatever it may be, you still have a great future if you're born again. Because ultimately, the great retirement program that all Christians have is in heaven with Jesus Christ forever and ever. And I like that gift. I'm glad we have that gift, the promise of a glorious future. Now, the kids sang a song, Ring the Bells. And part of the words are, tell the news, or ring out the news of Jesus. Now that's what we need to be doing as Christians tonight. We know what's on the Christmas tree. We know what the gifts are. There are many others. I don't have time to mention them. We know what they are. And we know atop all of that, the star on the top is total forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ to us, the privilege of having all of our sins forgiven and anybody coming to Christ. Thank God for that. But we need to get that news out there. We need to be like that star up there. We need to be obvious and on top of it and out witnessing and sharing the gospel. What good's it going to do? We have all this good news. The world needs that good news. People around you need that good news. We need to let our light so shine before others that they might see our good works and not glorify us, but glorify our Father which is in heaven. We need to let our light shine and have a witness for the Lord. Not only just the way we live, but you've heard me say it many, many times. It is verbal confrontation. It is saying to you, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Have you come to that place in your life? Not just living your life before them, though that's important. And they watch us, and they get some kind of idea about who God is by watching us. And some people have no Bible. If they do, they never open it. So they just watch you at work and watch you everywhere you are associated with them in a social way. And they get their ideas about God from you and from me. And sometimes They can be around us for years, and we never ask them, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to go to heaven? Everybody in this building who is saved has an obligation to be witnessing and telling others about Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's for you, preacher. Yes, layperson is for you too. Brother and sister in Christ is for you too. We all should be faithful witnesses, not only in our lifestyle, but in being faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell people what's in the gift. Tell people what's in the tree. You know, if you have a gift out here and somebody say, you say, here's a gift for you, and I'm not going to let you open it and I'm not going to tell you what's in there, that would be pretty cruel, wouldn't it? But we have the gift that we can give people. We can tell them there's eternal life on that tree, and that life comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to ring the bells and let the world know. Let's stand up, please. And our heads are bowed a moment. We'll have prayer, and then perhaps there's someone here tonight who's never trusted Christ, and we certainly want to give you that opportunity. That's why we're here. And then there may be some Christians who need to come tonight. You may need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I hadn't been letting my light shine. I need to trim the wick tonight. I need to get some things right with you so I can ring out the bells a lot better. You know the need. God has spoken to you. If you're here without Christ, come tonight. Receive the gift. All of these things come through Christ. They're all there for the taking if you'll just receive the gift. God is not going to force salvation on you. He's not going to force any of these gifts on you. You have to accept them by faith, your will. Father, we ask now that your will would be done in our lives tonight. Thank you for all the gifts that come through Christ, the real Christmas tree. And thank you that in so many ways as Christians, when we have a Christmas tree and all of these ornaments and all the things that we have on them, that we are reminded through all of that of Jesus and of the gifts that we have through him and of the greatest entire gift of eternal life through him. I pray if there's a person here tonight that's unsaved, that tonight, this night, they'd be saved. Lord, speak to us as Christians. Help us to be happy and thrilled, and help us to feel a sense of obligation to serve you and to love you and to live for you, because you first have loved us. We should be your servants. We should be sold out, yielded. We should be ready to do anything you ask us to do. God, help us to have things in our lives the way they should be, to get rid of bad habits, any sins that might be there, might hinder our light from shining for you. Just speak to us, God. You know what it is. Speak to our husbands, our wives, our families, our teenagers, our men, our ladies. God, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.